Defending anti-terror efforts at home is just one of many challenges facing the Bush administration this week. The president spent part of this morning watching a children's holiday pageant at the White House before traveling to North Carolina for a speech on the economy. It's an economy which is getting better marks from economists than from the public. Later this week, Mr. Bush is expected to give the second in a series of speeches intended to rally support for the war in Iraq. But in Washington, much of the news this week will come from Congress, where big issues are pending and some careers are in the balance, too. Joining us to discuss all of this is NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving. And Ron, let's go back for a minute to this 9/11 Commission report. What has been the administration's response, and is this a big problem for them?
It is a big problem for them, Madeline, because as you were saying a moment ago, it combines with the continuing fallout from Katrina, and we saw a lot more of that over the weekend with the release of these emails between the White House and officials in Louisiana. It paints an unflattering picture of their competence, and it undercuts a basic image of this administration as being can-do problem solvers. The basic pitch that they've made us safer in the world. Over the last 4 years, the administration has claimed credit for having prevented any more 9/11s from happening. And it's been mostly an implicit claim, but it's been sometimes quite an explicit one, too.
And that's what Iraq is supposed to be all about, too, right?
Yes, that's been the first justification for Iraq, although lately we've heard more about how we're creating a new Iraq and a new dynamic of democracy in the Middle East generally. The president always gets back to the issue of American security being secured by going to Iraq sooner or later. And this week we'll hear more of that as he makes the second in his series of four speech on the war themes Wednesday here in Washington.
And going on to Capitol Hill, we're waiting with bated breath to see if the charges against former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay will be dismissed.
A judge in Texas is right now deciding whether to dismiss the case against DeLay. This is basically a money laundering case, saying he took contributions from corporations that were illegal under Texas law, funneled them through some other organizations to make them acceptable. If the judge in Texas dismisses that case, then the House Republicans are going to have a tough decision to make, and presumably they will restore him to his post as their leader. But he has another cloud over his head, and that's from a former associate named Jack Abramoff, a major fundraiser and lobbyist here in the district. He's being investigated by federal prosecutors who have already indicted two of his cronies, one of whom is a former DeLay press secretary. So there's lots of speculation about what that probe may mean for DeLay.
And meanwhile, there's a lot of work to be done. The House is back at work this week negotiating a lot of huge differences that it has with the Senate.
There are key differences on the war, how it should be conducted, how detainees should be treated. Those are going to have to be worked out between the House and Senate before it goes to the president, who has vowed to veto the bill if that's included, that is, if any restriction on his discretion to treat detainees is included. There are big differences on spending bills. The House has $50 billion in a package of cuts to Medicaid, college loans, food stamps, programs like that. The Senate doesn't have those cuts. And there are differences on tax cuts, too. The Senate wants to focus on the alternative minimum tax, which is mostly paid by people in the, say, $200,000 to $500,000 a year range, whereas the House has, in its package, an extension of tax cuts for capital gains and dividends, and those, a little more than half of the benefit of those tax cuts go to the richest 1% of Americans, people making $1 million a year or more. So, really, the House and Senate have very different approaches to a number of things. This is typically the case. But in this particular year, where the White House usually counts on the House to take its position, it's not going to be able to do that quite as readily because the House has not been as disciplined and organized this fall as it has been in past years. It's two different cultures that exist in the same building, and they have to pass these laws in identical form.
NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving, thanks a lot, Ron.
Thank you, Madeline.
And to get more of his political analysis, you can read his column, Watching Washington. It runs on Mondays on our website, npr.org.